This morning, I'm so glad to have you guys here this morning as we continue preparing our hearts and our minds in this Christmas season. We still have our manger up here, and I love the physical having a manger, because this is what this season is about, is that our Savior came and took upon flesh and became one with us and dwelt with us and humbled himself to becoming a child in a manger, foreshadowing the cross. He didn't come to just be a baby in a manger, but he came for the cross. So this morning, as we prepare our minds for this season and worshiping our Lord, I titled this sermon "The Joy That Conquers Fear," because that's really what the angels were declaring. We're going to continue in the Gospel of Luke chapter 2 this morning, as we were last week. And when you think about fear, when you think about anxiety, when you think about all that goes on in our world, it sometimes feels like when you watch the news, all we have is a whole lot of Chicken Littles. Y'all remember the story of Chicken Little? They even made a cartoon that was funny for Chicken Little. The sky is falling. The sky is falling. Everywhere you look, everyone's talking about how the sky is falling. And at times in our lives, we look around and it feels like the sky is falling. It feels like everything is coming down on us, whether it's in your marriage, whether it's in your health, whether it's in the church, whether it's within our finances, within our politics. It feels like, wow, the sky is going to fall on us and crush us. And there is things that are pulling on us to be afraid. A lot that we can be afraid about. But Jesus Christ coming into the world gives us a joy. A radical joy that conquers fear. It is the joy that every believer, every Christian has. The joy of the Lord. The joy that pulls our hearts in unison with our Lord. So a question we are going to be asking is, how do you keep your heart full of joy in this Christmas season? We talk all the time, oh, we want the Christmas season to continue year-round, but most of the time when people are saying that around us, they're talking about the giving or the warmth or the family or the love, but the joy, the true joy of the Christmas season is something for a believer that can be with you day in and day out, 365 days a year. So how do we keep our hearts full of the joy of the Lord today? How do we conquer fear with the joy of the Christmas message? So my desire for us today, my goal for us today, is to set a foundation of joy in Jesus from this birth of our Savior, our Messiah, our Lord. I want to focus our attention this morning, like I said, in Luke chapter 2. We're not going to be focusing on how Mary and Joseph were coming down. We know that's part of the story. They've come to Bethlehem and they've had the baby Jesus. It's what comes from that. The message of the angels is what we're going to look at this morning. So if you have your Bibles, and we're going to have it on the screen here, turn to Luke chapter 2, and we're going to pick up here in verse 8. This is right after the birth of Jesus. And it says, in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased." This is the word of God for the people of God. Would you pray with me this morning? Heavenly Father, we come before you. We come before you to hear from your word. A word you had written over 2,000 years ago to describe what you have done for us. Speak to us in your word. Move in our hearts this morning. May fear leave us. May joy be grown in us. May we grow in being fearless because of the joy of the Lord that you have given us, that you have proclaimed to us. May we know that joy. May we be contagious with that joy. May we glorify you in that joy. Speak to us all this morning, Lord. Speak to me. Teach us. Guide us. We need you, Lord. We ask and we pray this in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. So I want to begin in Luke chapter 2 here in verse 10 and 11, where the message came from the angel. And in verse 10, it says that the angel said, that's the shepherds, he said to the shepherds, these teenage boys who are out, because they probably drew the short straw, because the older men were saying, hey, we're not staying up tonight, you're up. That's what happens when you're young and you're an apprentice. You're out there. You're going to be with these sheep. They're watching the sheep. They're protecting the sheep. They're doing what they're supposed to be doing. In the cool of the night, the angel appears to them, and he speaks to them. Fear not. Don't be afraid, in verse 10. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This angel is proclaiming a gospel, a good news message. That's what the word gospel means. The angel comes with gospel intention, and it's something that is not for the shepherds alone, but it's for all people, he says. All people to hear this good news message. A message that shouldn't strike fear in you, but should set you free from fear. The command he gives, that's how he starts this message, with a command not to be afraid. How many times when we think about the gospel, we think, oh, it's a good message, but we don't use it as power and strength to set us free from fear. But the message of the Lord, the message, the good news message of who Jesus Christ is and what he came for, conquers fear. It has the power to conquer fear in our lives. You want that fear of the sky falling to go away? Listen to the message of the angels. So another question that we should be asking: how does the lordship of this newborn baby boy make possible the fearlessness and the greatness of your joy this Christmas? How does the lordship of Jesus Christ in your life produce fearlessness and a great joy? Well, the greatness of this baby is meant to create in us this lack of fear. God's people are not to have fear reign in their hearts, but instead have joy, have great joy. This phrase that Jesus is Lord is the foundation of Christian fearlessness. If you're writing notes or taking notes, write that down. The phrase that Jesus is the Lord is the foundation of Christian fearlessness, and it has power. Power to create in you something that the world cannot do. No presence can be given to you on earth that can do what Christ can do for you. Concerning the fear of our sky falling all around us, this message that the angel gives changes hearts, changes lives. In the face of all the sky falling around you, it becomes the umbrella of protection over your heart from fear. So that's our big question. How does this lordship of Jesus, this newborn baby boy, make possible this fearlessness, this greatness of our joy in Christ. I want to give you five ways that Jesus' lordship conquers fear and brings joy. Five ways I'm going to observe, and there's many more we could put in front of you. But I want to start with this. Jesus is declared in this passage the divine Lord. The joy that conquers fear is possible because Jesus is a divine Lord. Hear that today. This is identity language. Who are you trusting in? Are you trusting in baby Jesus? Are you trusting in just a fun, neat encounter, feel-good moments of holidays and friends and family? Or are you trusting in the divine God who came to earth? That's what Luke wants us to focus on, that God comes to us from God. That's what he's emphasizing. The word Lord is interchangeable with the word God when it comes to reference of Jesus. 27 times, just in the first two chapters of Luke here, Luke records the word Lord, and 25 of them are referring to God. That's powerful. Look right here in our text today, just in Luke 2, verse 9. It says, an angel of who? An angel belonging to who? The Lord. The angel of the Lord appeared to them. And the glory of who? The angel? No, the glory of the Lord showed around them. Two verses later, what do we see in Luke 2:11? Unto you is born Christ the Lord. He's saying God. No hesitation, no qualification. The Lord God sent his angel, and the glory of God shone, and the child born is the Lord God. The glory is from God. And I hear all the time people say, oh no, the Bible never says that Jesus is God. It never just comes right out and says it. Well, then you're not reading your Bible. Because right here, he's doing that. He's saying Jesus is God and God brought this about. This morning, what we're looking at is not just a human being born into the world, but God came and took upon human flesh. It's God's message through God's angel showing God's glory to the shepherds. And of course, there's fear on them because the glory of the Lord, the holiness of God, the power and the might of God is shining. And we would all be afraid because all of our sin, all of our weakness, all of our brokenness is now put on display in comparison to what is overwhelming in front of them. But when the glory of the Lord is revealed, the message of the Lord comes with it. Do not be afraid of my holiness. Do not be afraid of the guilt and the brokenness that is on your life. Do not be afraid of the darkness that has reigned in you, because I'm going to give you a good news message that takes the glory of the Lord and takes away all the fear you have. Because unto you is born this day a Savior who is Christ the Lord. The Lord is our Savior. He is God. He is God from God. He over and over emphasizes this. In Luke chapter 2, verse 26, Jesus is called the Lord's Christ. Here in Luke 2:11, he is called Christ the Lord. That's virtually the same way that the Apostle John, when he is writing in his gospel, in John chapter 1, when he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Luke is doing something like that here. Luke does, what he's saying here is, the Lord's Christ, is Jesus, is God. Jesus is God. This God-man Jesus is meant to be worshipped. Where does the Gospel of Luke leave us at the end of Luke's writing? Luke 24, verse 51 through 52. While he blessed them, that's Jesus, he parted from them, and he was carried up into heaven. And what did they do with Jesus? They worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with what? Great joy. Luke's gospel begins with the worship of Jesus and ends with the worship of Jesus because he is what? God. God is here. God has come. Jesus is God who is worthy of worship. And they worship him. So the fearlessness, this greatness of God's love produces joy. The divine Lord has come for you. Christmas is not about an elf on a shelf. It's not about a fat man sitting around in a red suit. Those are all fun things. But no, the greatest present we need to produce in us a great joy that conquers the sky is falling fear of our lives is the presence of our God alone. He says, I see you. And I've come for you. And I'm coming with all my glory. Glory that you can encounter. Glory that I'm going to make, bring all of that together and humble it so you can encounter me. I'm going to be weak like you. I'm going to be fragile like you so you can know my joy. I came to conquer your fear today, he says. Today we have joy that conquers fear. Not just because Jesus is God, the divine Lord, but second, because he is a historical Lord. Unlike all the other myths that are going on in that time, all the different things that we see going on, the Greek mythology, all the legends that are going on, they do not take place in human history. The joy of the birth of Jesus that destroys fear is possible because Jesus is a historical Lord. The life of Jesus does not take place in Middle Earth or in a galaxy far, far away. It takes place, as we see in Luke 1:5, in the days of Herod, king of Judah. It's rooted in real history. Mary was from a real city in Luke 1:26, a city of Galilee named Nazareth. She came with Joseph to Bethlehem, a town about 5 miles outside of Jerusalem, which is still there today. Why did they do that? Because in Luke chapter 2, verse 1 through 2, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus, a real historical decree from a real historical person that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. This is a real historical event going on in the world with real historically proven people. So when Luke continues in his gospel in Luke chapter 3, verse 1, he keeps us in that historical event. And John the Baptist began his ministry in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being the tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of the region of Iturea, and Trachytius and Licinius, tetrarch of Albania. So a question when you start seeing all these historical things you should be asking is, why does Luke want you to see all this historical reference? I think the reason is simple. Luke has all these historical references because our hope and our joy in our God is steeped in actual history. It's not mythology. It's not random reference. It's not made up stories. It's not about a fat guy coming down your chimney and stalking you all year long, seeing if you're naughty or nice. No. It's about a real God caring about his people, showing up in real human history because he's not done showing up in human history. He is an actual God working in our lives, even to this day, Trinity Baptist Church. God is at work in this church family. That should give you joy. Because you don't serve a mythology. You don't wake up and get what makes Christmas Christmas for you is a story you heard as a child. No, you are to have an active engagement with a real God of history. Third way Jesus takes away our fear and gives us great joy, even when it feels like the sky is falling. This kind of echoes our first point. But he is the all-governing Lord. The fearlessness and greatness of your joy is possible because Jesus is an all-governing Lord. Staying in Luke's gospel this morning, we see Luke carrying that through. When the disciples are on a boat and Jesus decides to fall asleep and a storm rages up, in Luke 8, 24 through 25, they cry out and they say, "Master, Master, we are perishing." And he awoke. And what does it say he did? He rebuked the wind and the raging waves, and they ceased. And what do we see happening with his disciples in verse 25? They marveled, saying to one another, "Who then is this that he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him?" The answer is very simple. The one who created them. The one who created them. This goes back again to our first point, that our joy is not in a man. Our joy is in a God who became man, a historical man, 100%. But is also this historical man is 100% Lord and God who governs everything that's going on, and nothing can be permitted without his power. Luke carries this through his gospel in Luke 4:41 when he speaks about the demons. It says, "Demons also came out crying, 'You are the Son of God.' But he rebuked them, and they would not allow them to speak." He silences demons. That's a God act. He has authority over them. What about death itself? Luke carries that divine lordship all throughout his gospel. In Luke 7, verse 14 through 15, Luke records this, that Jesus came upon and touched. What's going on? There's a young man who's sick, a young man who's dying, and they're taking him to his burial site. And Jesus comes upon the burial procession. And he came up and he touched the barrier, and the barrier stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And the dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. God wants to conquer our fear of death this morning with the joy of him being the Lord of our lives. Jesus is the Lord that governs all natural events. No demons can do anything but by his permission. He can heal any disease that he chooses. He can and will raise the dead one day, and they will stand before him, and every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Can you imagine Luke sitting down to write this gospel? You can almost see the smile of joy on his face as he begins to write with this admiration that his God chose a virgin and her betrothed who were living in Nazareth. Their family line was from Bethlehem, the family of David, where the Messiah was to be born. And to get this virgin into that birthplace, he puts in the mind of Caesar Augustus, most powerful man in the world, living over 1,000 miles away, to call an empire-wide registration, involving millions of people exactly at that moment when it would be good, when it would be good to move that pregnant Jewish girl to Bethlehem. God did all of that to fulfill a promise he had given hundreds of years before, recorded in Micah 5:2. That's amazing. That is our all-governing Lord this morning. That's the Lord Jesus. And he was doing all of this, and he's doing all this around us. Do you think God is working in these wars, in these plagues, in these struggles, in these famines, in the economy that is struggling, in our church that is struggling, in people's lives that are struggling? Is God active, engaged? You bet he is. They had no clue what God was doing. But God knows what he's doing in your life today. He's moving in your pains, moving in struggles, moving in this so you can trust in a God who conquers fear because he's conquered sin and death. He conquers it all. And that produces in us great joy. Jesus governs the world for the sake of those who say, Jesus is Lord. The fourth observation I want to put in front of you is that the birth of Jesus reveals we serve a God-glorifying Lord. This means our God gets joy in giving you joy of his presence. Jesus takes joy in doing the work of God in our lives so that we might encounter him. The mission of our Savior is to show the world that God is infinitely great and beautiful and available to us. The Savior is born. The Messiah is born. The Lord of the universe is born. And before you can put your own interpretations on what that means, what does God have happen? A multitude of angels fill the sky at the second of the declaration of who Jesus is, so that we will not have any other response but worship. Glory to God in the highest. That is what takes place in Luke 2:14. The second that one angel is done speaking about the truth of who Jesus is, the party flows onto earth. The point of this birth is that God is glorious. The mission of this Savior and this Messiah and this Lord is to show the world and the powers of darkness that God is infinitely greater than anything and more beautiful than anything, more valuable than anything we could ever find here on earth. He's greater than any Messiah you could ever want. So we should ask this question. Since God has sent a Savior, it seems to save man, a Messiah to fulfill all the promises made to man, and a Lord to rule all the things for the good of us men and women, why doesn't the heavenly armies sing glory to men in the highest? Since we seem to be the object that Jesus is coming to. Because the universe and man were created to display and uphold and communicate the glory of God. If we displace God as the ultimate end and goal of creation and history and redemption, we don't gain some form of status. We lose God. And then losing God, we lose joy. When you replace God's glory with man's glory, you get great frustration, great disappointment, great emptiness. You get the chasing of money and the power and self-glorification and sex and family and friends, and you chase and you chase and you chase into emptiness and hopelessness and meaninglessness. When you replace God's glory from your heart, you get great sorrow, not joy. Where there is great sorrow in your life, replace it with the glory of the Lord and you will find joy. This is why Christmas has no meaning for so many people. This is why we have to have so much energy put out by secular non-believers to make Christmas into something, because for them it is nothing. Because they've replaced it, the glory of the Lord, with the glory of people and presents and toys. Christmas is all about the children. No, Christmas is about the one child, the one King, the one Lord, the one who is worthy of worship. That's why the angels came, to declare the glory of our Lord. And the last thing I want to put in front of you to help battle this sky is falling mindset of our world, that the birth of Jesus brings us great joy because God wants to share his joy with you. Hear that. Your joy in Jesus is possible because Jesus is a happy God. Think about that. We don't serve a grumpy old man, even though I love that show. It is hysterical. But no, we serve a God of joy. We serve a God of joy. When the angels say, glory to God in the highest in Luke 2:14, they are obeying the command of their Lord. That's what he wants said. He is in charge, and he says, this is the time to celebrate. A wonderful night. A night of God's love is on display. This is a night of joy. It's a party going on. You can almost see it, that with the second that the angels begin to worship, what is happening is that the party in heaven is flowing out into the streets of Bethlehem, into the hearts of those shepherds, and they're screaming, they're decrying, they're worshiping, because our God is a God of joy. And he is excited to save you from sin. He's excited to rescue you from darkness. It has come about. For thousands of years, the angels have been wondering, when is he going to do it? And he's doing it. The party of heaven is spilling out into the streets of Bethlehem. It's spilling out into the lowest working class in that culture, the shepherds. They are uneducated, untrained. Anybody can do that job. And that's who he goes to. That's who sings the glory of the Lord. Because our God comes to the humble, comes to the broken. The Pharisees aren't screaming and worshiping glory to God. No, the poor shepherd boys are singing glory to the Lord. Look what our God has come to do. Look what our God has come to do for you. God is a God of joy, and he wants you to be a part of this joy, because Jesus didn't just come to be worshipped. He came to save you so you can know his joy, so you can know his pleasure, so you can know his presence in your life. He didn't need more worshipers. He's already worthy of worship. He said, I love you, and I want to bring you into my joy. I'm reminded, again, in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15. Jesus tells a parable, a story. He tells a story of a woman who lost her coin. And it's supposed to symbolize the lost sinner. And so she goes looking for it in Luke 15, verses 9 through 10. And when she found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me! For I found the coin, the lost soul that I had lost. And then Jesus adds on to that story. So just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Our God rejoices in your salvation. Our God rejoices in your soul repenting from sin and coming into his glorious love. Our God loves you and throws a party for you because you are no longer lost, but you are found. That's what this Christmas season is about. Hear that this morning, that the joy of Christmas is that the Messiah has come to earth to save sinners from death. And that causes God to dance. Your salvation is a joyful gift to the Lord. It cost him so much to buy you as a gift to himself. Jesus will die on the cross for your sin. Jesus will take the wrath of your sin upon himself so that he can save you from this sky is falling, broken world. So that one day you can stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and say, glory to God in the highest. Where is there peace on earth? In the heart of God's people who know that Jesus is Lord. Let peace on earth reign in you today. Be a person who wakes up every morning and takes the sky is falling banter that is coming upon everything that's going on in your life and go before the Lord and stand under his umbrella of protection. And glorify him that you know the one true God. Your sins are forgiven. Your life belongs to him. And no matter how much of the sky truly is falling on you, you can rejoice because your God loves you, because your God saved you, because your God is calling you into his eternal presence. That is good news, is it not? That is good news, and that is what the angels call us to do. So let me read to you one last time, Luke 2:14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. Who is Jesus pleased with? Those who confess with their mouth and believe in their heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. God has raised him from the dead. Those are the ones he is pleased in. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. We thank you for your word, because without your word, we would not look at Christmas this way. We would not look at this season this way. We live to glorify you, to make much of you, and have joy in making much of you, because you are a God who loves us, a God who has redeemed us, a God who has paid for us, a God who does not leave us as we are, but takes us as we are, so that we can be people who declare your glory and know your glory and know your joy. Fill our hearts this morning with your joy and your love. May we be contagious with the gospel message of what you have done. May it be heavy on our lips. May it be ever present in our hearts and our minds. May we raise our children and our grandchildren in it. When people ask, how come you have so much joy? It's because of Jesus. So Lord, we thank you for your message this morning. And we want to worship you now. Worship you now and glorify you now in taking of the Lord's Supper.